and now evangelist David Shannon.
Good evening. I hope that you will make this a habit. The singing was beautiful, and it's much easier to speak to a group that you can see their eyes. I forget now, though, wasn't it some commander that said, don't shoot till you see the whites in their eyes? Well, there's some that I'd never be able to shoot. But it's nice to see down front. You know, God speaks through His Word of us being a family. He's our Father. We're brothers and sisters. He speaks of the unity that is to exist among us. But yet sometimes it's hard to physically pull us together. It's good to see that we can be physically pulled together. And I want to thank you. And I really mean that. It's not an easy thing to change the place maybe you've sat for several years. It takes a little work. It takes a little effort. Maybe a little getting used to. But I really appreciate it. Also, we want to wish, and I'm going to get my list out, because if there's more than two or three, I usually leave somebody out. So we want to wish the Romans and the Dukes, Miss Bishop, Miss Willardine, Miss Talbot, and Miss Billy Faye Pruitt. We want to wish you, that'd be eight, right? Four, five, six, seven, that'd be eight of you. We hope that you eight have a very good trip, a very safe trip, and that you really enjoy yourselves. And that you can lift the people up around you. Also, we want to commend the ones that came early tonight as the mentors. You came to learn how to be a better encourager, and we commend you for that. We want to commend our young men that have agreed that they will take the responsibility to speak in their class this Sunday, this coming Sunday. They will speak in their high school class. They will even let a few guests, such as their parents and maybe grandparents, in. That's up to them who they invite to be in that class with them. But we want to commend them on taking that step. The first step to accomplishing anything great is to say, I'll do it. And they've done that. They volunteered to say that they would do it. And one more thing, and we'll move on into our lesson. Oh, spread the tidings around. What we just sung. If there's ever something we need to do in today's world, is spread the tidings that there's not just a God. There's not just a God that who has created the earth. There's a God that is Lord of lords and kings of kings. Please open, if you will, to James, the first chapter. As we've already mentioned, there were some that came early tonight to learn how to be better. They wanted to become a better encourager of the young people. Now there are others, and I believe that it must be everyone in this room that came tonight with at least a slight desire to grow. I find it hard to believe that even though some might say, well, you know, going to church is kind of a habit for me. And so it is, and it's a good habit to be in. But I still find it hard to believe that everyone here did not come at least being willing to grow just a little bit. Being willing to take home a new lesson. Being willing to take home at least an old lesson with a new desire to fulfill God's Word. Now tonight, if I told you I have a lesson that will help you grow, what do you think the lesson would be about? Reading your Bible daily? How to study your Bible? Bible study, the Bible classes? How about if I told you we have a lesson on how to grow? As a matter of fact, it's a golden opportunity for growth through temptation. That's right. James tells us in the second verse of James, the first chapter, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Why? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Brethren, tonight, if any of us are to grow, if any of us is to grow in faith and in patience, we must grow through overcoming temptation. I'm sure all of us are familiar with just the words, thanks. I needed that. When's the last time we viewed a temptation that we really struggle with. One that it seems like we can never get away from it. One that it seems like it's the one we have to be praying about often. We have to watch it very closely or we'll find ourselves involved in that sin. When's the last time we said, thanks, I needed that temptation? Now, Jesus tells us in His prayer, lead me not into temptation. So is it a contradiction? Is it a contradiction for Jesus to pray, lead us not into temptation? And yet, James in his epistle says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Well, no, I don't think it's a contradiction. Sure, you and I should not leave here this evening saying, I want to grow. I'm going to go out and I'm going to try to dig up some temptation. I want to see how close I can get to sinning. And then right at the moment of sin, I'm going to back off and say, wow, I've grown a little bit. I don't think James was saying that. But I think he was saying that all of us are going to fall into times of temptation. And it's during those times we have the ability to grow. The ability to grow in a beautiful way in knowledge of God. This evening, let's notice three things quickly and then we'll look at a couple other points. But three things quickly about temptation. James here said, my brethren. Now this is one of James's favorite statements. He uses this simple statement over 15 times in the short book of James. He's speaking to us. At this particular time, James is not speaking to those in the world saying, hey, you in the world, watch out for temptation. He's not speaking to Christians that have fallen away and they're unfaithful. He's speaking to the brethren. And he says, my brethren, count it all joy. Now, if I ask you this evening, please count everyone in the room here. It would mean that you would stop and you would look at each individual one. We're not asking for an estimate. We're asking for a count. Here, he says, count it all joy. That's the first thing I need to learn about temptation, is I must look at it. I must recognize the fact that that temptation is there. You see, any time I have a careless attitude, I'm in a dangerous situation towards sin. Have you ever been in a situation where you find yourself into sin and you don't really know where the temptation began? I'm sure all of us have. How can that happen? Every sin, I believe, must begin with a temptation, something that lures us into that sin. So how can we be lured into sin and not even realize at that point that that temptation is there, but later on realizing that we have been tempted and that we failed, that we are in sin? That's why that is the number one thing we must understand, is that if we're ever going to overcome sin, we must begin by recognizing temptation. You remember in Acts, the 17th chapter, when we have Paul on Mars Hill there and he walks through that city of Athens and he sees those people that have a god for almost everyone and everything, and finally they have one god because they're afraid that they might have left out some god. So they have that god that's entitled the Unknown God. And as he speaks to them about that unknown god, he says, I know who that unknown god is. And just as that song we just sung, he says, it's the God that is King of kings and Lord of lords. But he didn't say, because you didn't know about that God, you'll be excused. Brethren, it's dangerous when we start asking questions. What about all those in foreign countries that have never heard about God? Won't they be excused? That's dangerous. Why? We have no proof in the Scriptures. Brethren, we have our neighbors right here. If we start allowing ourselves to say, okay, we'll excuse all those in foreign country with ignorance, what are we going to do with our neighbors that we have never taken the gospel to? Are we going to excuse them because they do not know that there's a God? I've been in more than one state in this nation where there were little children that did not have any idea who Jesus' parents were. There's probably some right here in Gaston. Are we going to excuse them and say, well, ignorance can be excused? Paul said to those, Mars Hill, no. One time God may have winked at that ignorance, but not now. He commandeth all men everywhere, all men everywhere, to repent. How we need to realize that if we're ever going to escape temptation, we must begin with recognizing that it is a temptation. But that's not enough. Once we recognize the fact that it's a temptation, second, we must give that temptation a sober look. To be able to recognize that, hey, if I involve myself in this, it's sin, but then to say it doesn't matter, or I don't want to take time to think about it, is to say, I don't really care if I end up lost for eternity. I don't care what God's judgment is of me in the end. I don't care if I spend an eternity in hell. I don't think there's any of us that would say, I don't care about my eternal life. But for some reason, sometimes we're tempted to pass off the fact of temptation as being something lightly. And we'll give in to it. We'll treat it as if it's nothing. We must recognize it. And we must treat it as it is important, because Romans 3:23 tells us all sin and fall short of the glory of God. How does sin begin? It begins with temptation. Now we know that we don't have to give in to any temptation. Hebrews 4:15 assures us that Christ was in all points tempted, like as we, yet without sin. We need to overcome. How do we do it? By giving the temptation a sober look. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, watchful. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's out there, brother. And if we do not believe that he wants us, we're fooling ourselves. Please listen to this statement closely. We can look at eternity lightly, but Satan doesn't. Do you believe it? We can pass it off as, oh, it's just one little sin. It's just a little lie. It's just being a little careless with the talents that God has given me. It's just not doing good when I know I should. It's nothing to worry about. And Satan looks at that in a very good way, and he says, that's serious business, and I love it. You just continue to think that way because I have you right where I want you. Brethren, let's beware any time we see temptation and not give it a sober view. But then there's a third thing, and that is the simple fact of once we recognize it and once we look at it closely, we must then reject it. Flee from it. You remember when Jesus was in the garden in Matthew the 26th chapter, and he told Peter, can't you just stay awake for 1 hour? And then what did he say? Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Why? Because the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Brethren, if we're ever going to overcome temptation, we must believe that Jesus' instructions on how to overcome anything is the best. And if you have a temptation that you struggle with, you seem like you can't overcome it, I encourage you to think right now, have you been watching for that temptation? And have you been praying about that temptation? As we've already pointed out, if we're not going to watch for it, we're going to find ourselves involved in it before it's too late. We don't even recognize it coming. We must watch. But there's no one here tonight that is so strong that you can overcome temptation on your own. No one. I have proof of that. Because if someone could overcome temptation without the help of God, there would be people in the world that were Christians by no means, but they would be perfect. There's no one perfect. All of us, if we're going to overcome temptation, must rely upon God. Ephesians 6:10 through 18 helps us to understand ways of overcoming, and it says about our armor that we wear. Our loins must be girded with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, our feet prepared with the gospel. We must have the shield of faith. We must have the helmet of salvation and the sword, which is the Word of God. Now, I'm not making this up. You know what it says then, how to overcome the fiery darts of Satan in verse 18? watch and pray? Do you think it's just coincidental that Jesus in the garden would say to Peter, watch and pray that you don't fall into temptation? Do you think it's just coincidental that Paul would mention in Ephesians, put on the whole armor of God, but even if you put it on, but you don't watch and pray, you're in trouble? There's a reason. We can prepare ourselves through study. We can prepare ourselves mentally. We can prepare ourselves in every way. But if we forget watching and praying, we're going to find ourselves involved in sin again, and we're going to ask ourselves why. I thought I had it under control. And again, I emphasize the point, you and I will never have it under control. But with God's help, we can. So temptation, we need to recognize it. We need to give it a sober view. We need to reject it by watching and praying. But then, let's notice James again. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the working, the trying of your faith worketh patience. There's joy in overcoming temptation. Count it all joy. Now, wouldn't you say that many of us look at temptation coming and we don't feel that joy? Why? This is a reversal of what most of us feel. We see the temptation coming and we say, oh no, I'm going to have to deal with it again. He said, count it all joy. Why? Because He assumes that we're going to overcome. Brethren, tonight, let's all set in our heart that we're going to have a renewed joy in the Christian walk. Because we're going to set our mind to, no matter what the temptation is, we're going to believe God when He says that He will give us a way of escape that we are able to bear. And we're going to know that we're going to have this joy because we're going to overcome. We've set our mind to it. We're determined. We're strong, faithful soldiers of Christ. We can experience this joy. But we must work at this joy. But also, you notice from the third verse that the trying of your faith, which is what is tried when we must endure these temptations, worketh patience. Now, isn't that a good outcome? You know, sometimes we see the side effects of something and we say, well, you know, I'd like to do this positive thing, but the side effects are negative. Here, James gives us a beautiful recipe for patience. He says, you overcome temptation. And you're going to experience a joy. And just on the side, you're going to build up your patience. Do you struggle with not having enough patience? It very well could be the case that if we don't have enough patience, we've not overcome enough temptations. Maybe we've given in too often to temptation. Therefore, our faith has not been tried as it should be. Therefore, the thing that produces patience has not done it, because we haven't went back to the first step of temptation. If you will turn with me just over to the 1 Peter, the first chapter. I want you to just notice this, just to reinforce what James said there. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, notice in verse 6, we're going to hear many of the same words that we heard in the first chapter of James. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. Now why? Why do you greatly rejoice? Through now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. So here Peter says, rejoice because you have many temptations, diverse temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found into praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, ye yet believe, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Brethren, it takes refining. It takes a melting down process to make a nugget of gold into a beautiful piece of jewelry. That's what Peter says here about your patience and about your faith. There's no one here tonight, no one that can say, I'm a faithful Christian, but I've never endured temptation. There's no one here that can say, I really have a great amount of patience, but I've always struggled with overcoming sin. Just as you cannot have a fine piece of gold jewelry and say it's never been tried by the heat of fire. It's never been tested and formed. Tonight, I hope all of us want to grow. The golden opportunity of growth is overcoming temptation. First, we must recognize it. Give it a sober view and then overcome it by watching and praying. When we do that, we will experience a joy, as 1 Peter says, a joy unspeakable. And then, just on the side, we're going to have a great amount of patience. Tonight, have you grown? Or have you given in to the temptation? Now, I want to give you one little bit of encouragement. If you've given in to the temptation and you feel like you've wasted time, and you feel like that along the way here the past few months, the past few years, or however long, you've not developed your faith as you should, not all is wasted. God welcomes you back, and when you come back, you're trying your faith. You're putting your faith to the test to say, I want forgiveness of those sins, and I'm going to overcome. And once we do that, we then we'll be working on joy and we'll be working on patience. Tonight, are you going to let temptation conquer you? Or are you going to grow by overcoming temptation? If you haven't become a child of God, you're letting temptation conquer you. Take care of that tonight. If you've become a child of God, but yet you've allowed temptation to conquer you, you're not growing. You're not growing at all. As a matter of fact, you're falling away. Come back tonight before it's too late as we stand, as we sing.